Hey, everybody. Welcome back to iCast 2018. A lot of great stuff going on as usual. And I've got a very, very special guest. We've been trying to get on the show for a couple of years.
Awesome.
And really glad to have you. Dave LeFever. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great.
I'm glad you made it on the show.
It's about time. Yeah, I figured.
Yep.
When Pete calls. It is. Yeah.
That's right.
It's been a while.
The industry jumps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do what Pete says.
Well, I'm glad you made the trip over. It's awful good to see you. And, you know, you're out on the Elite Tour now. You know, of course, we fished the FLW Tour together for a few years and roomed together a few times. Mm-hmm. And now you're out on the Elite Tour. How you liking it?
It's definitely a different world.
Is it?
Oh, yeah. It's everything I heard it would be and more.
But really?
I like it. I mean, yeah. I was kind of, you know, big on the co-angler thing throughout the years.
Yes.
Maybe a little too big at times.
You were outspoken on that topic.
I've got great co-angler friends, believe it or not. But, I mean, it's just the concept, and that was one of the reasons that I decided to try to qualify and shoot over there and give it a shot. And
that was the big driving force is the...
That and, you know, we had slacked off in the tournaments a little bit. We went down to six.
Right.
For 4 years, I think, in a row, mm-hmm. and I just want to fish as much as possible. And
right.
Bass had, you know, 10, 11 tournaments, so I just, that was another factor. But you never know what the future holds. I mean, I just wanted to go over there and try it, and
yeah.
haven't seen a lot of those guys in so many years, and it's been a neat experience. This is my third year already. So.
Is it really? Mm-hmm. Wow, it seems like it was just last year that it got started.
Yeah, it does. Time flies.
Were you a rookie?
Mm-hmm.
Were you not?
Quote rookie.
Yeah.
They didn't give me the rookie, you know, the chance to win that rookie of the year, which I wouldn't have won anyway.
That
they didn't count me as a rookie. I guess too many winnings.
What's the rule on that now? Do you know? Like if you
they changed it the year that I went. It was a certain amount of winnings, so it was like
oh, is that how they do?
You won a million or something like that.
Yeah. Well, you've done that.
100 million. Yeah.
Well, you've won what? 2 million?
Yeah, a little over.
Little over $2 million.
Almost. I'm actually over 2.5 counting the Toyota Texas Classic.
Good Lord. Brian the Carpenter's won a little over $200 in his fishing career.
Nice.
So
good job. Is he allowed to talk?
Yes.
He is.
Ooh,
he
I'm here.
He learning. Is. Dave LeFever has over $2 million in winnings.
Wow.
That's amazing.
That's good.
I mean, Kevin's leading the pack, but man, you got to be up there.
And Kevin who?
You don't know Kevin? A lot of people haven't heard of that guy.
Some guy.
Some guy. He cranks a little, I heard.
I've heard about his nephew. He's got a nephew, right?
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of his nephew.
No,
his
Jonathan?
Nephew, yeah, Jonathan stole the Lake Erie
tournament.
I'm not
a big fan either. I got one of those. Now, what can we say and what can't we say? I've never
you
done
say
this
anything.
Before. Really? So we got like a delay or something?
Nope.
Oh, no. Anyway, I got one of those. You know how... For some reason, when you pass certain people, they just go for the... Can we talk about that?
It's open. Yeah. Jonathan goes for that?
Oh, he... Usually people miss.
The
you know
purple
what I mean?
Nurple or...
Oh, dude, I'm in pain. Yesterday morning, got me right off the bat, 9 o'clock, 9:30.
Nice. Damn.
Bleeding.
Really?
That's I a good think. One. I didn't really look. Lactating, something's coming out of there. It's bad.
I didn't know that about you, Jonathan. What are you up to?
Yeah. Hey, you don't knock it.
I have to walk by him, see what happens.
But, don't do it.
but yeah, I mean, 2 million, I mean, there's not that many guys. That's rarefied air, dude. That's big time.
It's nice to think about. I'm having a little rough year, so thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's some impressive stuff. A lot of guys will fish their whole careers and you know, struggle to win, struggle to get checks and stuff, but obviously you've been very successful at both. And I watched you, and I know you don't want to talk about it, but I watched you out on Bassmaster Live, which I love watching the live show.
It's addicting.
Oh, my gosh. From an angler's perspective, I don't think I'd like it. I don't want to be covered like that. I want to keep my stuff to myself.
I know how you are.
You know, but but from a viewership perspective, oh, my gosh. Yeah, I can't turn it off, and it's amazing to watch.
When we roomed together, I used to have to sneak outside. I like to go through the pros' boats and stuff, and you probably don't even know this, but in the middle of the night, I'd get up and because you never showed me anything. I'm like, teach me something, Master Pete. But I got to look at it, some of that stuff in the dark. You know, I go out there with my flashlight and look around.
That's all right. The stuff that I keep out there is just
really
the decoy.
Yeah.
That's the decoy stuff.
Nice crankbaits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We did a piece on my crankbaits.
Yes.
I remember we did that. But the what were we talking? We were talking about Bass Live before you derailed me.
Yeah.
The
almost got you.
Yeah. The saw you. You had lock issues. You were contending to win that tournament. That's so frustrating dealing with that variable that's out of your control.
Yeah, you know how it is. I mean, you don't find the winning fish
that often
in the that fits into your wheelhouse. You know, like I know those were the winning fish, and I never got to make a cast on the sweet spots the entire tournament. I was just getting ready to, and I called the lock on day three on my way to finally go do it. I just got lucky enough where I was able to fish around the sweet spots, you know, like come within 50 yards of the sweet spot on one side and then idle around and fish the other side and never really fish the juice parts of them.
You were saving that.
Yeah, that's what you have to do. I mean, we learned that lesson a long time ago. Mm-hmm. I learned it at Wheeler a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
But it was frustrating. You know, it's one of the worst feelings in 17 years I've ever had in a tournament, because I felt like you don't get the opportunity very often, and there it was, and something out of my control cost me, you know, what could have been. You never know, but I feel like it was pretty much going to be.
So where was this at? This is Mississippi?
Yeah, it was in La Crosse, Wisconsin. Okay. I've won there before, whatever they called them back then, Everstart tournament.
Right. So Everstart, I Strand, going there. Costa, one of those.
But, you know, it's just the not knowing. And it had Randall Tharp was up there, and I forget who was lead, Aaron Martins. Had they not dropped the ball on day four, you know, like they opened the door.
Right.
And I didn't fish on day four, but I was thinking, I told my wife just to calm everybody down, you know, if Aaron catches 17, Randall catches 17, there's no way I could have caught him. I'd have needed 20.
Right.
But they both opened the door. So it's just one of those things I'm still losing sleep over, but it is what it is. Go on to the – I mean, luckily we had a tournament the very following week out in South Dakota, so there's no time to think about it.
Yeah.
And unless you come on Bass University and talk to my good buddy Pete, then that's the first time I thought about it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's our job, to bring you back down to the depths along with us. So we appreciate you joining us down here in the basement.
An orange basement. I like it.
It's not. It's colorful, but it's neat. It was neat to watch you fish. I saw you fish somewhere else. You were fishing bulkheads, swimming a jig. What tournament was that? You had a lot of live coverage.
That would have been maybe the Classic.
It might have been the Classic. It might have been.
At Conroe?
Yeah. It was the Classic at Conroe. I remember that now. You had something really unique. I thought was awesome. You figured out drainage or some depth changes on the bulk. How'd you figure that out?
Mostly a Google Earth thing. I'm going to see it. Iconelli's probably calls me a lot.
It wasn't mine. In addition to Greg, we get live phone calls here on Bass University Live. Let me set it up. At the Classic, Dave's fishing the bulkheads, you know, seawalls, depending on where part of the country you're from, that's what they call them. And the key that he figured out was that they're not all the same. There's depth change, there's habitat changes along those walls. And how'd you figure it out?
I think the secret's pretty much out, but we've been looking at Google Earth for a lot of years, and at one point there was just a couple of us that kind of figured that out. And,
yeah.
But now everybody knows it. I found all that stuff.
You found Google Earth when the water was low?
Yeah, you go back a few years.
Yeah.
I don't remember if it's 2012 or when they had the major drought down there, and you can kind of see little ditches when that water's low and it rains, new ditches form from like the grass, you know, how people...
The runoff.
Yeah. So it was literally just little veins,
yeah.
Not the major ditches where there was a pipe, because those seemed to get a lot of attention, although I did fish those because they were there, but most of those fish were on those little drains that are undetectable on your graph.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, that's a great find. That subtlety's key, and guys watching Bass University TV, our guys are hardcore bass guys, so those little tidbits, those nuggets are hugely helpful, But that was great finish. It's been great watching. I love watching the Bass Live stuff. And we are both with Rapala, depending on who you are and how you say it.
Rapala.
It's all good. And they've got some, this isn't a Rapala bait, it's a Rapala company. But they've Terminator's got a great new product, a vibrating jig. You were successful with this before it even hit the market. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, it's one of the things, you know, at Rapala, we start testing stuff quite a long ways out, you know, 2 years, 3 years sometimes. Some of the stuff that's getting ready to come out is some of the most exciting, you know, stuff that we can't talk about yet, something Brandon Polnick's working on. It's really going to be awesome. But this is just one of those baits that I got it at the right time. The first samples that came to me, you never know what's going to happen. It's called a shutter bait, like you said, under the Terminator brand. And I got the first little pack of these, and I just happened to be off for 3 or 4 days. We were getting flooding rains. It was pre-spawn around my house, you know. Yeah. And it's just interesting how things work out. You know, I tied one on and got to go fishing with it the day after I got them. I said, I'll try them. And I had good, incredible results that very first time I tied one on. So wow. I knew that, you know, that we had something a little bit different, a little special, you know, and something that was definitely going to work. I felt like, you know, to catch bigger fish, to be able to look at, you know, sometimes we looked at water that looks like this table and we run from it, you know, that red clay, the muddy, nasty stuff. And, that's what I was fishing in that first day, a little lake by my house called Edinburgh Lake, just flooded out, puke mud. And I caught some on that particular color right there. And the very next tournament we had was at it was either Okeechobee. I can't remember if I used it first at Okeechobee or first at Ross Barnett. I think Okeechobee. And I caught them on the green pumpkin one. Just something different. You know, these fish get, at Okeechobee, a lot of times we're fishing community areas. There's a bunch of boats around each other.
Right. Because the clear water sets up in certain areas. It collects the fish.
Yeah, so I didn't know if it
collects
would
work the fishermen
in clear water or not. Mm-hmm. But that's the first time I caught them in clear water. Then we went to Ross Barnett. I think that's the right order. I can't remember. We went to Ross Barnett, and it was getting muddier every day.
Mm-hmm.
And believe it or not, I'd forgotten. You know, we just got so much going on in your head, you forget about things. And I had forgotten about this bait. Fished 2 days and it started getting muddier and muddier, and it just
clicked
out there rigging. Yeah, it just clicked. I'm like, oh my gosh, I need to, you know, I was thinking about abandoning my water. It was just getting washed out.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, well, I'm just going to go back in there and see what I can do. Maybe try one of these, get bulkier. You know, this is you fished the regular vibrating
sure.
chatter bits. You can tell right off the bat if you fished one that this is a bulkier, bigger,
it
way
pushes,
bigger profile.
It pushes a lot of water.
Yeah, I use the same chatterbait rod that I use for my regular baits. Like, this isn't going to replace your typical chatterbait. This is an add-on. This is something you need to have
right.
in those niche situations. But I use the same rod, so I can tell, like, I get very little bend with a regular chatterbait. This one, it's like, you know, it's
yeah.
a bit beefed over. You know, one little tip as I'm learning, you know, this is a brand new bait, so I'm kind of learning as I go, but I just switch to braid, you know, use the same rod, same reel, 7.3 medium heavy, and you switch to braid with this, and you just don't have to, you know, you can go through the same motions you would with a regular chatterbait. It just loads up and you kind of get them. But using regular fluorocarbon, it's just a bigger bait, you know. Usually with the chatterbait style, I'm cutting it down, making it nice and dainty, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
This thing, I want full skirt, big giant. I use a cowboy trailer in that tournament. It's a new one from Yamamoto, just a real big, bulky thing.
Right.
And just you want something to displace a ton of water, and there's nothing better than this thing. It's crazy.
Well, I have to agree. I mean, I've fished it a little bit, and the first thing I did with it is I took it out to the swimming pool and looked at it and felt it. And it does. It just it loads your rod. It displaces so much more water. So that makes a lot of sense that you're catching them out of, the mud and the stained mm-hmm. water, because it just has a bigger signature in the water, a bigger presence. But something that I discovered about it is, you know, it's tremendous glide when you release it. You know, when I'm fishing a vibrating bait, I'm always pumping it and, you know, different retrieve styles. You know, sometimes you're burning it, sometimes you're doing different things.
So you're teaching me something right now, finally, after how many years, finally.
When you release this, this is the way I described it to my son as I was showing it to him. This is like a hang glider. It's what it looks like.
Nice.
When you release it and when you stop moving, it'll move 3 or 4 feet to either side. It'll glide. It won't it doesn't nosedive. It doesn't fall. This acts like a parachute, and it just will sail.
That's what's
in an erratic
cool about,
way, you know?
You know, that's what's cool about discussing new products with other pros that are testing it and stuff like that. Like, I never did that yet, so I'll definitely have to try that. But the way I was fishing, it was just short kind of pitches, keeping the rod up and just waking it. So I could see those big fish, you know, just come up and get it. So it's more been a steady. I like it because you can just reel it. It stays on the surface real nice. You know, you don't
slow.
Have to reel
real fast. You don't have to burn it. Yeah. And that off color, that makes perfect sense.
But it's very versatile. And I've caught them Toledo Bend last year. You know, just by taking, they have a white one. I don't know what color head that has. There's a white one. It's just got a white head. I was taking the skirt off and putting a swim bait on it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just so many things that I don't know yet. But
it's brand new.
I just caught the crap out of them on a swim bait with this in front of it. It's pretty cool.
Wow.
Pretty cool. A lot of different things you can do with it.
Yeah, well, it's a very unique bait. It's so unique that, what's its name?
Shutterbait.
Nailed it.
Yeah, we struggled with a name for this. It changed a few times.
Yeah, you get chatterbait stuck in your head. This is a shutterbait. Very unique new lure from Terminator. So look for that available out there on shelves. It's, you know, as Dave described it, man, it's like it's a off colored water, big giant presence in the water. That's the tool. It's called a shutterbait. Check it out. See, one of the things I thought, because of the clear nature of this build, that it would be more of a clear water application. Just looking at it.
I haven't done that yet. I went out on Erie. I got packed up for ICAST. I'm getting ready for Major League Fishing next week and got packed up early and shot out in the front yard and threw that a chartreuse one and caught smallmouth on it too. So, and it was crystal clear. So it's just one of the, for me right now, until the other day, I had not caught him in clear water on it yet. But I know it definitely shines in that blown out water where nothing else works really good. So to catch smallmouth on it, though, is eye-opening. It's just one of those things. We just got to keep evolving with it and find out what it does. And
yeah, but that's exciting part about a new deal. Smallmouth hit it. And I'm guilty. I had chatterbaits in my boat for 2 years before I made a cast with one. So I'm guilty of, you know, you get stuck in a rut. You get things that are, you know, sometimes I see new stuff and I get, you know, I'll let Dave win a tournament on it before I start throwing it. That's not a good idea.
Give him the list of baits you left on
that's
the shelf.
That's a follower, Pete.
Well, here's my big three. Number one, Senko, 5 years before I made a cast. Number two, Chatterbait, 2 years before I made a cast. And number three, Spybait.
And number four, the Whopper Plopper.
Oh, the Whopper Plopper.
I'm on that train with you. I let that one slip by me a little bit.
Yeah.
Spybait?
I let him go.
The Whopper Plopper.
Yep. It's...
I had first day I threw it, I had 15 bites and caught three of them. And I said,
not a good bait. Not a good tournament bait. I looked at the chatterbait and I'm like, look at the lip on this thing and there's no weed guard. This is a ridiculous lure. Nobody's going to catch a fish on this thing. And then Brian Thrift goes and starts winning tournaments down in Florida. My partners start catching them on them. So,
you remember Alvin Shaw?
Yeah.
2 or 3 years before Brian Thrift ever won a tournament on that, we were throwing it in a pool, and he gave me one, and I didn't even know where it was. I had one 2 or 3 years before.
Me too.
It's crazy. Never thought it would work. It just looked goofy in that clear water, and Alvin never threw one.
Yep.
Think about it. Could have had it for 2 years before.
Me too. I had an outdoor writer go to an event and give me a handful of those baits, and I looked at them, and it just... politely took them from them, you know, like, oh, these really do look good. Yeah, we'll just,
that happened,
you know,
to me with the Alabama rig too. Just laughed it off.
Yeah,
put them in a box somewhere. Yeah. Gave them to Cliff Crochet, and
I never forget the first time I was in Okeechobee, and my partner.
We must be going over. They're looking at their watches.
my partner was. I was on a fluke bite. And it went south. My partner picks up this bait and starts catching three or four of them right away. And he says, "Here, feel the rod, you know." And I feel, and I just got the dumb look, like I let this whole train pass me by. But I'm I keep saying I'm not going to do that.
It's a Yankee thing.
I let the spy bait go by again, you know?
It's a Yankee thing.
Yeah, well, I guess it is. You're an MLF guy, man. You jumped on board there. Man, people love to watch MLF. You having fun over there?
I am. It's a blast.
Yeah?
It's like too much fun, actually.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of stress. I mean, you want to win those, and I've been doing mediocre. I did get to win one so far, but... it's a lot of fun. People recognize it more than they do anything else. You know, that's the most comments you get is I watch MLF. It's cool. I kind of think I get a little bad rap because I mess with the refs a little bit too much, maybe, but I love all those guys. It's just sarcasm. I think some people don't get it, but other than that, it's fun.
That's cool. I mean, people love it. I mean, it's real time. I mean, you know, you're catching fish, everything counts. The people can relate to it, I think, is what it is. Is guys get to go fishing just a couple times a month, maybe, or, you know, what they get one day. They're in MLF. They're just going out trying to catch whatever they can catch.
Yeah, and it's it's just an everyday experience from anybody else. We're trying to lock down a lake, trying to figure it out in 15 minutes and then go from there and see what happens. I think it just kind of makes, you know, the superstars – look like kind of brings them down to a different level, maybe.
Yep.
It's a pretty neat format. I love it. I'm looking forward to it. I'm driving straight from here. I'm leaving today early to make the 30-hour trip. I got to go all the way back to Erie, drop the family off, and then head to, I don't know if we're allowed to say where we're going or not, but I got a long drive after that.
Ah, for MLA.
Yep.
Okay, well, you're going to be at the Chesapeake.
Yeah, right after that.
Oh, right after that.
Yeah, they're filling in the gaps, keeping us busy.
Yeah, they sure are. Well, I wish you the best luck coming down to the Chesapeake, man. I hope it fishes well for you guys.
Never been there.
That happened before you fished the yeah. I guess it was the year before you got started. Yep. They were there.
Yeah.
You're an East Coast guy? So you've never been to the Chesapeake?
No, most people can't believe that.
No, that's crazy.
They don't have that. They've not had very many tournaments. They've only had two Opens there previously and one Elite. Right, so that's not a lot of tournaments over the course of 20 years. You were in the FLW at the time, so you know it wasn't important to you. But hopefully it shows out. There's a lot of 4 and 5 pounders there, and I hope the place really shows out for you guys.
Sounds like it's going to be fun. Close to the Potomac. I feel good about that region.
How many Potomac wins you have?
One major one, and then another big one, not as big, but
a Stren. Mm-hmm. You want a Stren?
Nice.
I think two of them.
Okay.
Can't remember.
Ish hates the Upper Chesapeake.
Ish hates everything.
Hate. When I say hate, that's a mild word.
He hates everything.
Hates it.
He hates the Delaware.
He looked for a way to go to the Potomac from the Upper Chesapeake. I think it's about a 3.5 hour each way.
Oh, you can do it?
You can make the run.
I might have to look at that.
It's connected, you know? But if things go well and the wind doesn't blow, you might have 30 minutes to fish.
Wow, that might be worth it.
Look at that. You and
Ish.
You're
trying to throw me off.
See, you and Ish should go together.
Maybe.
to be safe, you know?
Yeah, maybe we could do that. I'll talk to him about that.
That's funny. Well, you know, hey, man, good luck. And then you're going to your neck of the woods where I know you've had some experience up there on Thousand Island.
Oh, yeah, Thousand Islands.
Yep.
Looking forward to that.
Yep. But
you never know. I mean, last year I largemouth fished.
I know.
Really good. I had a blast.
You'd love to do it up there. It's awesome.
I caught them all at 75 North 14004. I forget the other west coordinates. Uh-oh.
You giving
those
away?
Can't even turn the camera. We got some fishy monkey business going on over there.
we got a guest host, or he's just listening. He's trying to get your coordinates.
Yeah, he is. Look at him.
Yeah, the Cajun baby.
So he can't hear us without those headphones.
Not very well.
So what was the conversation about St. Lawrence? I just missed.
He just gave the winning school of fish the coordinates. Latin Launch. You can get the replay. Cliff,
oh, so
get
you're the replay. Run this replay. Look, we got a hover over here. Shark, Bernie, waiting in line.
Everybody's looking for
it. We fished some of the same water last year.
Oh, here we go. That's his excuse for why he's going to fish Bradley this year.
That's not true. You started by the boat ramp. There's that boat ramp right there.
I don't know what you're talking
about. Yeah, you fished that whole
What's going on here? What is going on here?
We can hear it. We
can't. Oh, man. I don't know about
this. He's getting smelled an info.
We can't win with largemouth. Hey, just give it up.
He's going to be throwing.
I've tried.
He's
going to
be throwing a shutter bait on that boat ramp. Do you have any?
I'll get you one.
I was almost.
I'll tell you what. I'll get you one of these if you promise not to go there.
I'm gone, Dave. I'm gone.
Well, hey, we'll got the Cajun baby. That's the audio. I don't think you guys can see him, but
it's not Bobby Boucher.
Bobby Boucher. Stop by for a visit and talking about his Anglabungata. What is that?
I'm a. What? How did you say?
Mama say.
My mama say.
Mama say.
My mama said, smallmouth the devil.
Well, you're going for largemouth up there, and we want to wish you, Dave, thanks for coming on my show, man.
I appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
I appreciate being here.
And
awesome.
We're gonna be back with a lot more great stuff. We got the best in show VMC product that we're gonna be showcasing here in just a little while. It's part of a Nico rig. You guys are gonna really like that. And wish you the best, Cajun Baby 2. We'll be right back. More from 2018 ICAST. I'm Pete Gluzek for Bass University Live.